it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
After the Whistle, presented by Seneca Buffalo Creek Casino, nothing else comes close.
Every day, Craig talks about how are we going to start the show? How are we going to start the show? Well, today we have a mystery, a real live mystery. Craig, are you listening?
Yeah, I'm listening.
Ron, are you listening? No. I believe diversity is an old, old wooden ship used in the Civil War era. Speaking of Civil War, I went and saw the movie Civil War yesterday. That was not even set up. I went and saw Civil War in theaters. I had no idea. I'd never seen it, the trailer. So I assumed I was walking into like a Civil War era movie about the Civil War or something, that a story that occurred during the Civil War. Not the case. It's a modern day Civil War movie. Absolutely incredible. I highly recommend people go see it.
Like, so it is, what are we ranking Civil War? Because I'm going to tell you this. I've not even heard of this movie. So I have not looked it up.
Me neither. I hadn't heard of it either. I just went blind to the movie. And then it opened up and it's like modern day. And I was like, are we in the right movie?
Modern day Civil War. What do you rank it out of 10? Give me your...
Listen, I have to make something clear. This is not my type of movie. But as it went on, very graphic. Okay. There's some disturbing scenes. What made it so messed up is that it just showed, I guess, a modern day image of what a Civil War would look like. We do not want a Civil War.
So you're highly recommending Civil War.
Highly recommending Civil War. Okay.
So what would you give it out of 10? Give me your, what is it? Siskel and Ebert.
Well, the one word that I can use to describe the movie, intense.
Intense. Okay. Like
very
that.
Intense movie.
Like that. I haven't been to a theater and I literally cannot remember how long, 25 years ago.
It's a nice experience these days.
Was it packed?
No.
Was it packed in there?
No, not at all.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, I'm not going into an
afternoon Sunday movie.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, there's not a chance I'm going into a theater.
Okay. Whatever. To each their own. Wait till it comes out. Wait till it comes out. I'm sure you have friends with home theaters.
Or you can just have a TV and a couch, bud. That's it. A little popcorn.
I don't know. I think this is one you got to see on the big screen. Some movies you have to see on the big screen.
I've got a big enough screen that it'll do me.
Sorry.
No, I didn't mean it in that way. See, you always try and take me down.
Forgot who I was fucking talking to. Now, listen, we have a mystery to figure out.
Okay.
The mailman just came. So I just went and grabbed the mail. And there's a box at my door. Now, this box is soaked. Now, this box has probably been there for 3 days that I didn't even realize it was there. So I pick up this box. And, you know, in case you don't know this, my birthday is next week.
Is it?
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
So.
See you there.
So. I pick up this box and it says ATW. Happy birthday. No name on the senders. It's sent from the address is a UPS store. Okay. There's no name on it. There's no return address. The phone number.
It makes me a little nervous.
So this is what I'm thinking. I'm wondering if a bomb's going to go off.
Right. I mean, there's a lot of people that hate after the whistle.
Kevin Adams tracking down my address and sending me a bomb.
Yeah. he would have drove it there himself.
So I open it up and there is a mystery gift in the box.
Oh my God, the anticipation is killing
me. I'm not telling you what's in it.
You're not going to tell me what's in the box?
I can't tell you what's in it. That's the point. That's the problem.
You have got to be kidding me.
I can't tell you.
You're cutting this out, right? You're going to cut this part out because you were going to lead us, and then you're not going to tell the people that are listening. A mystery person dropped a box at your front door.
Mailed a box.
Mailed from UPS to your front door. I want to know what's in the box. So does everybody else listening right now.
I'm going to show you the box to prove that this is real, but I'm not going to show you what's in the box. Hang on. I'm going to go get the box. I just opened it. I couldn't believe
it. Is it
the
just
guy.
Not, it's not acceptable. Like it's not something that you.
No, should. I have to. No, I'll share what's in the box. Just not today, because I have to do some real detective work here to find out where these came from. Because this is a very
where these came from.
This
so
is
there's
a very, very, very specific detail of my life that somebody is picking at.
Get out of here.
Like, this is a very private detail that they have sent something. So I have no idea who this is, but I'm going to get you the box right now so you can see this. Okay, hold on. So the box says, and you can see it right here, like it's to After the Whistle, my address. And then the address to ship back is a UPS store. So I know why the person sent me what's in the box. I know exactly why. I just don't know who did it.
Oh my God, you are killing me right now.
It's what's incredible about it is that it is a very intimate detail.
Okay, so do I have anything to do with this?
I don't know. I honestly thought it was a present from you. I'm opening this up and I'm like, oh, Craig remembered my birthday next week. He sent a present early or just ordered something for me. That's what I thought happened. No, but seriously, it says ATW on the top, happy birthday on the top of the box.
It's not like that movie Seven, right? Where, you know,
there's
that,
no head in there.
There's no head. Okay.
Trust me. I wish Gwyneth Paltrow's head was in this box.
Yeah, right. Okay. All right. So I don't know where this is going, but
it's not going anywhere.
I'm kind of irritated
we're supposed
that
to be,
you're not
no,
going
to
tell me right
excited.
Now.
You're supposed to be excited. You're supposed to say, oh, I can't wait to find out who and why they sent it. I know why they sent it. And I'm not, this is not bullshit.
You know what? So if you know why they sent it, wouldn't you know who sent it?
No, I don't think so. There's a lot of possibilities.
So there's a lot of demons in your closet. This is what you're trying to say.
What?
I want to know what's in the box. You tell me what's in the box, well, then I can relax a little bit.
Well, if I can't tell you what's in the box.
So you can't tell me what's in the box, or you can't tell the people that are listening to our podcast what's in the box?
I will tell everybody what's in the box when I find out who sent it.
I want to know right now. Are you angry with this situation? Are you angry?
No. No.
You love the gesture.
Of course I do. This is not a malicious attack.
That's what okay. Now
this
I'm
is
feeling
a
better.
Fun, this is made out to be a game. Somebody's
playing. Oh my God. Is it a game?
Yeah. Someone's playing a game with me.
Pat Coletta. It's Pat Coletta. This is right up Pat Coletta's. Gotta be
so
Patty.
Where the UPS store is makes a huge difference. So
where
I have
it?
To
where is
doesn't
it?
Doesn't fucking matter. So the UPS, that is going to be the detail that screws this person over. I've already narrowed it down.
To who? How many people do you have it narrowed down to?
10.
10 people?
I think I know who it is.
Pat Coletta?
No, it's not Pat Coletta.
You tell me right now if you think it's Pat Coletta. I don't even know what's going on right now, but he would be the one guy that would do this.
Do you know that it's Pat Coletta?
No, I am literally Not, I'm not even joking. When you said it was a game and you're actually enjoying this with a smile on your face, Pat Coletta and Maddie, this is right up their alley. Fun people, love to play games, and 100% it has to be him. And I think I think you're actually thinking that I'm right now. I didn't even know what was in the bloody box. But if someone is going to play a game, Patty K, that's your guy. Oh, I guessed it. Damn it. See, I knew it, man.
It's definitely not him.
Yes, it is.
I'm not going to waste your time trying to do some creative, funny commercial because I sound like shit. My allergies are in full effect. I sneezed 7 times driving my car this morning. Just about drove right into the back of a bus. Car crash, call Celino. Call the 8s, 888-888-8888. Are we done with Lindy talk?
You know, I think obviously there was some anticipation to figure out where and what direction the Sabres were going to go once they moved on from Don Granato. I think the anticipation of who is going to be the next head coach of the Buffalo Sabres to lead this very talented group to the next level, the anticipation of was there. And now that we see Lindy Ruff, I don't have a problem with it. I really don't. I think we've both been coached by Lindy. We both know what he is all about, the type of person he is. He's a great, great human being. He loves this organization as much as he coached with the Rangers and Dallas and New Jersey. Buffalo has something, you know, deep inside him. He is a Buffalo Sabre. He is part of this community, and I don't have a problem with it. I think it's a really good pickup. I'm just hoping that he has the ability to make some phone calls to maybe another head coach that is willing to come to Buffalo and help him out and almost like develop the dream team. You know what I'm saying? Develop that coaching staff that has that pedigree.
Go get Babcock as an assistant. Dead serious. They have a relationship.
Listen, I mean,
he doesn't have to be Mike Babcock.
I know, but you know this, that if Babcock comes here, it's going to be a larger than life type person that will overshadow what's going to work here. It's going to work. I know it's going to work. Lindy Ruff needs to go.
Maybe
go look at Rick Tocchet in Vancouver. Rick Tocchet went and signed Mike Yeo, went and made a call to Mike Yeo. Mike Yeo coached for 2 NHL teams. He's a very, very good coach. Went and picked up the pedigree of Adam Foote. Okay, this is a Hall of Fame defenseman. He put people in place that he felt that he can work with, interact with, and help make the right decisions for the team. I'm just looking at Lindy going, okay, he's got a clean slate here to make some phone calls to some big boys. When I say that, I say big boys in the coaching side of things.
I mean it when I say this. I'd call Mike and I'd say, hey, Mike, how about taking a run at an assistant job with me? Lindy had to do it in New York. The only difference between Lindy and Babcock is that Babcock won a cup. I don't think Babcock's a better coach than Lindy. Sometimes maybe Babcock needs a bit of a humbling. Lindy obviously was willing to be humbled by taking that job in New York. He mentioned it in his press conference. So maybe that's what Babcock needs. Maybe Babcock needs to just kind of release all relieve himself or alleviate himself of all the need to be in control and just be a hockey guy.
Yeah.
Talk to the players for once, respectfully.
Do you honestly think that he's the guy that you want him to respectfully talk to the players with?
Well, I'm going to
come on, man. What are we talking about here?
I think there's a human element to Mike Babcock. I've never had to deal with him as a player, but I've spoken to him many times, and I've always enjoyed my conversations with him. Now, that doesn't mean anything. How Mike Babcock is to me doesn't mean anything to anybody else, but I can speak on behalf of the fact that he is, I have seen a good side of him. I wasn't his player. I was just a guy. He coached my brother at a young age on Team Canada. You know, like I remember talking to him when he was coaching in the American League. When he was with Detroit, always said hello. Used to see him running the concourse all the time. Like he has a good side to him. If he could be that guy, and I remember thinking the whole time as I was talking to him, man, this guy, because I've heard the stories Matty Ellis told me about him, right? And Matty not Ellis, in a
bad. You can go to there hasn't been one person that has come out in all of years that we've covered Mike Babcock. We have not heard one person basically stick up for him and say nice things about him. Name me one person over the course of literally a 10-year period.
Yeah, as a player, absolutely. As something else, I don't know.
Well, name me anyone that's worked with him. Anyone. Name me one single player. Name me one single person in management that has stuck up for Mike Babcock.
I don't.
Your true colors are right there, Petey. I don't ever want to mention, you know, Lindy Ruff going to Mike Babcock as an assistant coach. That's okay. Ludicrous.
All right. Sorry for wasting your time. All right. I'm trying to get these players coached. That's what I'm thinking.
You're hitting it on the head in the sense that there are other people out there. I think that, like, it's not like Lindy Ruff is going to go to Craig Berube, okay, a former Stanley Cup winner. I don't think Craig Berube is going to be basically taking an assistant coaching job. Okay. Or Todd McClellan, who has basically coached a few different teams in this league, who's a little bit older. My thought is, you know, is there other coaches out there that don't want to
snatch up a DJ Smith?
Maybe a DJ Smith, maybe even a Jay Woodcroft from Edmonton. And listen, I mean, if someone is going to make a phone call and people are going to listen, it's going to be Lindy Ruff. Lindy Ruff has that pedigree around this entire league amongst the coaches and the best coaches that if you get a phone call from him, I don't care who you are, you're going to listen. So Lindy will make his phone calls to former head coaches in this league. And we'll see in the next coming months what Lindy comes up with. But another one that I keep reading, I've heard some talks about, is that could you see Seth Appert get brought up to be a replacement for a Jason Christie, per se, and bring up Seth Appert? Because a lot of great things people say about Seth Appert as a person, as a teacher, obviously coaching the Rochester American team, coming from the National Development Program. Is that a person that you could see coming up, taking over in an assistant coaching position, maybe running the power play a little bit more involved with maybe some specialty teams type stuff. And maybe within due time, a couple years, I don't know how long Lindy Ruff wants to coach for. I hope that Lindy Ruff coaches a long time because that means the team is doing very well. But what are your thoughts on Seth Appert?
The move is predictable and safe. I'm okay with it. He spent a lot of time in Rochester. He's paid his dues as a head coach in the American League. I could see that. You asked me like were you expecting me to say, it's not Babcock. I mean, obviously, but I get where you're going with the Babcock thing. I mean, I'm not going to beat that drum. I was just making an argument for it. I could totally see Seth Appert being the assistant coach.
Yeah.
He's a smart guy. He's a smart guy and the players love him.
knows the players in the minors. Okay. Has a good relationship with the players in the minors. Obviously a good relationship with guys like JJ Paterk and Jack Quinn and players along that nature, because they've kind of played some time down there. He's familiar with the organization. It's going to be interesting, especially with there's been it's gone a little bit quiet. It's gone a little bit silent, which is totally understandable. I think Kevin Adams and his staff are more interested in what's going on in Rochester. They're in a playoff battle in their semifinal, I think conference battle. And I'm sure that he's very tuned into what they have in the minors. And is there any opportunity for any of these players actually making a jump, not just to make a jump to the NHL, because we've seen enough making jumps to the NHL and then developing these kids for multiple years. Is there a player down there that can be in the lineup next year that makes the team better? Not goes through this development process. Youngest team in the league the last 2 years. I think we've developed enough. This is about winning. This is about, you are not bringing anyone into this lineup unless that player is going to help you win hockey games next year. That's it, period. There needs to be a brand new focus. Kevin Adams spoke about it at his presser. I think Lindy Ruff spoke about it also, that this is win now. This is win now. This is about finding players that are going to help this team win hockey games. It'll be interesting to see. I think that's the next phase. It's the next level of taking steps forward. I don't have a problem with Lindy Ruff being hired. I'm actually quite excited for him. But Lindy Ruff, I hope, and I know that he probably does, has the ability to make his own decisions to find the right coaches that are going to support him and his philosophy and what he does. And I hope that they can bring in some veteran presence that can be basically a sidekick to Lindy Ruff. Here's a few things that are coming up at Seneca. NHL playoffs are here, and if you've lost NHL bets, there's a chance to win back the payout.
Submit lost NHL parlay sports bets for a chance to win back the payout up to $500. Drawings on April 30th, May 14th, May 28th, June 11th, and June 25th. Check the website for more details. Here's a country band that everybody loves. They even mentioned Buffalo in one of their biggest hits. Big and Rich will be here at Seneca Allegheny Resort and Casino Saturday, May 25th. And the last one, and Craig's favorite, the Seafood Spectacular at Seneca Buffalo Creek.
Yummy.
And that's available every Thursday. For information on everything else going on at Seneca, go to SenecaNiagaraCasino.com.
Nothing else comes close.
I'll tell you who else might be available really soon, in a few days. Want to take a guess? Probably in the next 48 hours.
Who's that?
Well, I guess they don't play until Tuesday night, so maybe by Wednesday or Thursday next week.
Oh, Sheldon Keefe.
If they go down, there is going to be a shitstorm there in Toronto, and I don't know if it's going to hover over Sheldon Keefe or Mitch Marner more. I think after Keefe gets fired from the Leafs, I think he'll take some time to weigh his options. But I think that's the first move that they make. But I don't think he's going to be the guy that's under the most scrutiny there in Toronto when this series is over. It's going to be Mitch Marner.
It's crazy. I don't know. Is abuse the right word for this? Maybe not abuse, but he is taking it very hard. The way that he's playing, the criticism is insane. And I guess, does he deserve it? Like, I've watched the games, and unfortunately, the Toronto Maple Leafs are built four strong, and then there's an absolute cliff that you can jump off of and to get to the next level of player. The goaltending is not strong. They do not have a clear-cut number one, which has been a problem for a very long time. Their defense core is not good. Like, and listen, don't get me wrong, people. Yes, they have some good players. Morgan Rielly is a good player. But when you go and look at other defense cores around the National Hockey League, this defense core is not very strong. And I hate to say it, the team was not built properly. It is not built to win. It is built to have certain players have incredible successes.
So they can't, like, we're talking like the series is over.
It is over. Are you kidding me?
I agree it's over.
It's not even close.
But they still
remember the two guys that we were throwing a shit sandwich at all year? All year long, we've been throwing a shit sandwich. One's Tyler Bertuzzi. The other one's Mac Domi. Do you know who's leading the team in points? Those two players. That's ludicrous. You know, you have a Nylander, which I'm not 100% sure what he was dealing with. Someone alluded to what he was dealing with, which I don't want to throw rumors out, so I'm not even going to say it on here. Okay?
Why? What did you hear?
I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say why. It'll come out in Toronto land, and they can deal with it. But I'm not here to throw rumors out.
The migraine rumors?
Yeah.
Why is that so touchy?
I don't want to. If it's not true, then I just don't want to spread the, you know.
Paul went out. Didn't he play with a tinted visor too?
He did. So I don't know what he's dealing with. You know, you look at Austin Matthews, leaves the game because he gets pulled by the doctor. Okay. He gets pulled by the doctor. I'm going to tell you, you have to be really, really, really sick. I don't know what he's dealing with either. And I don't want to comment like, oh man, you're so soft because you're getting pulled because you have the flu. We do not know what he has. It's a weird illness and it won't go away. And I do not know what he's dealing with, but the doctor pulled him from the game. This is Austin Matthews. The stress level that is on that team. And then I'm watching the press conference from Sheldon Keith after the game. And it's just kind of like, man, I don't know if there's ever been a coach that's been fired in the playoffs, but I would fire him now because he looks like a wounded animal. He looks like a wounded dog right now. He's had
those
to
guys,
manage these guys.
I just don't think those
he's
guys
managing,
respect them.
Come on.
No,
like, what do you mean?
I just don't think.
They respect him? How about him? How about him as a coach having to deal with this shit? Got an $11 million Mitch Marner that looks like he shouldn't even be playing. He doesn't deserve to play. His pockets are so fat with cash right now. Sometimes that takes away from players. It has. I've seen it in the past. You get the big fat pockets. Things change in life. Your attitude in life, your drive, it changes. Do you remember a couple years ago watching Mitch Marner? We were talking about him being an absolute savage, an absolute warrior. Remember him blocking multiple shots on the PK? And now all of a sudden we're saying that Mitch Marner is no good because he's cheating all over the ice. His compete level is not there. He doesn't go into the corner to make a body check. He's jumping out of ways so he doesn't get hit. Like his play has changed.
He could be hurt too.
I hope he's hurt. I hope he's hurt. But I don't think he's hurt. I think his feelings are hurt. And I think for the very first time in Leaf land, I think for the very first time, you are going to see major, major changes in Toronto.
Okay, well, I'm going to throw this out there. This is going to sound ridiculous, but I don't care.
Yes, I would.
No, I never would have re-signed Austin Matthews. I would have taken that money I would have kept, you would have had to keep Tavares. I would have signed Nylander because I think he's a more electrifying player anyway. I would have kept Mitch Marner. And I would have used Matthews 13 and a quarter coming up to go and get a Zadorov, maybe snag a goalie. You get made love to by with one player, and it's just kind of like you, like that's, this is your $13 million guy. I don't give a shit if he's sick. There's excuses for him every fucking year for Austin Matthews. We make excuses for him. How was he sick in game one? Was he sick in game one?
I think he's at a lingering sickness.
Oh my God. That's that I just, code for.
I
What's
look
that
at
code
Toronto.
For? Shoulder issue, broken hand, what?
Yeah.
Like, give me a break.
Yeah. Listen, Petey, this team has been in win mode for 5 years. They have tried to throw Band-Aids all over this roster for years. And it is catching up to them in the biggest way. And it's gonna explode even more in their face because Mitch Marner and John Tavares both have 1 year left. Things are clearly not working in this lineup. There needs to be change, but the problem is Toronto's always either they do not have a first round draft pick because they've traded it away over the years, or they're picking 27, 28th in the league. So you're not getting better because the younger prospects that you have, which they don't have. For an example, if you go to their draft, they have this year's 2024 pick. They don't have a second and they don't have a third. Those are big picks. They do not have a first rounder in the 2025 entry draft. They don't have a first rounder, second rounder, third rounder, or fourth rounder. In 2026, they don't have a second or a fourth. Like, how are you supposed to build your team? How are you supposed to make your team better? At what point in time do you have to tear this down? At what point in time do you have to tear it down? Like, I'm looking at the defense core. Morgan Riley's 30. TJ Brody, who's going to be gone next year, is 33. Jake McCabe's 30. Joel Edmondson is 30. Giordano is 40. Lyubushkin is 30. Like, there's no up-and-coming young studs on this roster. Goaltending is in shambles. Samsonov, Martin Jones, Joseph Woll. I mean, these are not. This is the bottom of the barrel goaltending. Yes, they can play good games. Yes, all three of those goaltenders can play good games, but they are not number ones in this league. It's Toronto Maple Leafs are in big trouble. And when you have a guy like Mitch Marner is struggling so much, at what point is he just end this season saying, I want out of Toronto. I don't want to deal with this. He is going to go and walk around that city and he is going to be hated and despised. And
he's going to need to go to California.
Anaheim. He's going to need to move. He's going to need to get out of there. You know what the move is get him to Anaheim, trade for, what's the young, Trevor Zegras and guys like that. You can start to shape your roster differently with younger players that are excited to come to Toronto. But it's going to be a different look. It has to be a different look in Toronto.
They lose out this year in the first round, and what happens in the media and everything after is going to prevent players from going there. You do know that, right?
I think Toronto's always going to be a destination, so I don't agree with that whatsoever.
Okay, then we'll end the conversation right there on that. Because
I really do. I think Toronto's an incredible place to play. It has an insanely, insanely large fan base. Passionate. If you don't have the stomach for it, don't go to these Canadian cities. Don't go there because they're more passionate than most NHL teams. That's their thing in Canada. That's their thing. In Toronto, you got the Blue Jays and you got the Maple Leafs, and the following is huge. And I think at this point we've seen enough of the Big Four. We've seen enough of Austin Matthews, Mitch Marner, John Tavares, and William Nylander.
Something I wanted to bring up. So people have been posting about Rempe turning down a fight with Tom Wilson.
Yep.
You see this?
Yep. I watched it.
What exactly were the circumstances of the game? Can you fill me in on this? What was the time of the game and the score?
The Rangers were up. There's absolutely no need whatsoever for Rempe to engage in a fight with Tom Wilson.
Yeah,
it was in Washington. You know, Tom Wilson is going to try and ignite the building, a fight, a gladiator type fight with two extremely strong, tough men. And I'll tell you this, man, did I just shook my head, and I was just so insanely pleased with the maturity of Matt Rempe, who's 21 years old.
Yeah. No, I don't want it just to get lost.
Turn that down. Yes.
I don't want this to get lost in the column of, oh, he didn't want to fight Tom Wilson, or he will fight everybody else, but he won't go after Tom Wilson.
He would beat
Fuck
the wheels
that.
Off Tom Wilson.
He's not afraid of Tom Wilson. He's thinking about the next round. He's thinking about staying in the lineup, not giving them any life, just letting the Rangers continue to just beat them down. And
have you watched this kid play?
Yeah, he's impressive.
He
absolutely
skill set crushed Van Riemsdyk. I can't remember the kid's first name, but Van Riemsdyk, the defenseman. I kind of look at this. I looked at it over and over and over and over and over again. Rempe came in. He knew that he was going to finish his body check 25 feet before he made the body check. And he crushed him. And he's big. He's physical. He's dangerous because he's so big. So when he hits you, he's hurting you. And he plays 6-7 minutes a night right now in the playoffs. And he's a big energy piece on this team. And I was just very impressed. I knew exactly what Tom Wilson was trying to do. He was trying to ignite the entire building, to get them absolutely out of their seats, to ignite the building, to hopefully gain some energy.
Do you think Rempe was told, you don't have to fight?
Yes, I think all those guys, whether it's Mike Pekka, whether it's Laviolette, whether it's Housley, have spoke to Matt Rempe to basically say, we love the way you play. We love your energy. And what we need you to understand is we need you on a leash.
It's almost like they can say, you don't need to fight unless you absolutely have to fight.
Exactly.
He doesn't need to prove himself anymore. He doesn't need to accept a fight. He's a player.
Yes.
And it's amazing. This is a strategy by coaches to tell their tough guys to not fight at times. Get the series over with. Don't give them any life. And that's what it basically comes down to. Looks like Colorado's found their form, huh? Everyone was all over me after game one when I said they will absolutely trounce them. This is going to be the easiest series of all the series. And it's actually going to be the easiest series. It's just going to take an extra game because Colorado's fucking goalie didn't show up first game. This is an ass kicking if we've ever seen one. That series should be done. I'm surprised the Florida-Tampa Bay series didn't wrap up in four. Nashville shot themselves in the foot yesterday. Could have tied that series up, but blew it. We already touched on that one. And then Edmonton's up 3-1 on LA. I don't think anybody saw that. But the Nashville one, like, there's no Thatcher Demko. They were up, what was the score? 3-1, and then Besser scored two goals in the last just under 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And then they won it in overtime.
To be honest, I can't even comment on the series. I have not watched it. Can't watch every single game in the playoffs.
Was the game that was on. I was sitting at the Dinosaur Barbecue crushing barbecue wings yesterday when the game was on.
Sounds like it.
Sounds about right. The cornbread there is, oh my God. Oh my God. The cornbread at the dino. But anyway, so that was the game that was on at that time. So I was kind of forced to watch that game. That wouldn't have been the game that I wanted.
That's my, when that series is on, that's my time to get away. I'm not going to watch it. No disrespect to both those two teams. They're great teams. It's not a series that I'm watching. Edmonton Oilers, not watching that series either. Watching the highlights. Basically, they won 1-0 the other night, and I will just flat out say this. Stuart Skinner was the only reason why they won the game. Period. Wasn't because of Connor McDavid's play. Wasn't because of Leon Draisaitl or Hyman. It was because of their goaltending. And in the playoffs, Connor McDavid's going to win you a lot of games. So will Leon Draisaitl, and so will other players on Edmonton. But it's really, really good to see your goaltender step in the playoffs and win a game for your hockey club. That's huge. That's what you need to order to be a champion. So good on them.
All right. So to wrap this up, there's no Austin Matthews at Leafs practice today. Max Domi takes his spot on the top power play unit pre-practice. Hey, they're out there working on it beforehand. So no Matthews still. I wonder if he has a staph infection.
I don't
even
want to comment on that.
I'm just going down the old sore path of the Jay McKee staph infection around here.
Right, right. I get it.
Still leaves a mark. I mean, I don't know what's a bigger mark, the no goal or the staph infection. I got to say staph infection for me because I was on the team. But what a chaotic day that was, man, when Jay wasn't making the flight. The story Jay tells about that day, about how sick he was from that staph infection, is crazy. He had to get out at an intersection from his car. He was being driven to get in the car with T-Mac. Because if something happened, like if Jay passed out or something happened, he wanted to be with T-Mac because T-Mac was the team guy, the team medical guy, and they were rushing him to the hospital.
Right.
And I remember I called Jay's house and Jay's mom answered. Jay's mom was answering all the calls because the media was calling like crazy. Like, we're going to game 7 of the conference final. And fucking Jay McKee, we had already lost 4 of our top 6 defensemen. And now Jay's questionable for the game. And we're on the plane wondering what's happening and scarred the entire 0506 team. It's not Jay's fault. But fucking, like, wash your gear, would you? Like, do you know what happened? He took a slap shot, and I think he had, like, a pressure wound, like a pressure cut.
Yeah.
Okay? And I guess his shit was so fucking dirty the bacteria, he never got it. I don't think he ever cleaned it because it was just, like, a little cut, right? So it's like, whatever. You know, how many times have we done that where it's just like, whatever, I don't need stitches, it's fine. Remember, clean your wounds, people.
I feel for you right now.
That'll do it for After the Whistle, presented by Seneca Buffalo Creek Casino. Nothing else comes close.